book of Jonah, chapter 3. Jonah, chapter 3. If you have cell phones, I'm going to ask that you put them on vibrate. I need to get in that habit of saying that, because if I don't say that, then I'm going to leave mine on. And yesterday I was teaching the pastor's class, and I mean, I hadn't been in it very long, and all of a sudden it rang. Probably Kelly Wilson doing that to me. I don't know. But anyway, it rang. So, I mean, it just, you know, it's just a good idea for all of us just to, you know, just to turn them down on vibrate, and that way we can hear the Word of God and focus on it. Jonah chapter 3. Now, while you're turning to Jonah chapter 3, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever met someone or been around somebody who had attitude? Don't you just love hanging around those folks? You know, I talked this morning during Sunday school that we need to love the unlovable. And sometimes, you know, you say, well, I don't like to be around people with attitude. We all have attitude from time to time. You ever heard somebody say that person woke up on the wrong side of bed? We've all been there, and so we've all been guilty of having attitude. In today's English language, you can usually tell whether or not somebody has an attitude by some of the words that they use. Some key words, like the words fine. You know what I'm talking about when somebody says fine. It's attitude. Or whatever. You know, just normal words, but if they're used in a certain way, you can kind of tell that there's an attitude there. A person who has an attitude can also be defined by the use of snide and sarcastic and sometimes even rude remarks. You can also tell when somebody has an attitude because usually loud noises are associated with it, slamming doors, things like that. I don't know there's anybody in this world that hates a slamming door more than me. I just can't stand a slamming door, you know. And in fact, I get attitude when I hear a slamming door, okay? But this morning, I want us to look at a person who had a bad attitude, a person who had a major attitude in the Bible. And that man's name is Jonah. Now, I'm going to assume that most of us here this morning are familiar with the story of Jonah. This was the prophet to which God said in Jonah 1:2, he said, here's what God told Jonah to do. Now remember, Jonah is a prophet. Now a prophet is a person that went to the people on behalf of God. In other words, God would say, you know, this is what I'm saying. A prophet would stand out there and say, thus saith the Lord. And so God would tell the prophet to say a certain thing. Sometimes he would tell them to do certain things in a prophetic way. And he would tell them to do that. Well, God told Jonah here to do something. And here's what he said in Jonah 1:2. God said to Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. What he was saying is, Jonah, you're my prophet, and I want you to go, and I want you to cry unto them and say, listen, the judgment of God is coming, and you need to repent. And so that's what he tells Jonah to do. And so Jonah, as a prophet, should have said, yes, Lord, I'll go do that. But Jonah didn't do that. When you read, you'll find out that Jonah actually refused to do what God told him to do. In fact, not only did he refuse to go and witness to Nineveh and cry into Nineveh, but he decided rather than going to Nineveh, he went in the opposite direction. He actually went in the opposite direction where God told him to go. And so he decided to get on a boat and head to Tarshish instead. And I think we all know the story. While he was on the boat or a ship, for all you retired Navy fellas, there was a bad storm. And that storm was so bad that in Jonah 1:6 it says that the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Obviously, this captain or the shipmaster was pretty scared at this point because of the storm that came up. And though he probably didn't worship the living God, according to what's said right there, at least he had enough sense to ask Jonah to pray and say, hey, why don't you pray and ask your God to deliver us, to save us from this storm? And here's what Jonah said. He said, I'm a Hebrew and I fear the Lord. Now, isn't that a strange thing to say after God just said, I want you to go cry unto the city of Nineveh, and I want you to go tell them of their wickedness. And Jonah says, I'm going to head this way instead of going to Nineveh. I'm going to disobey you, Lord, exactly what you told me to do. I'm going to do the opposite of that. I'm going to go in the opposite direction from where you told me to go. And then he has the nerve to sit here and say, I'm a Hebrew, I fear the Lord. Sure don't sound like he feared him too much there. And so in Jonah 1:11, it says that these men, they said to Jonah, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. These people are still scared. The storm's still going on because, get this, folks, the storm was going on because God did not want Jonah to keep on going to Tarshish. He wanted him to go over and cry into the city of Nineveh. But Jonah refused to go. And so these men, they tell Jonah that, they say, what shall we do to thee that the sea may be calm to us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And Jonah said unto them, boy, this is just something. He says, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so the sea shall be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon us, or is upon you. Now I want you to think about that. All Jonah had to do to make that storm stop, all he had to do was simply tell the shipmaster to turn the boat around so he can get off the boat and head back to Tarshish, or head back to Nineveh. That's all he had to do. But instead, Jonah was willing to be cast into the sea during a horrible storm and risk drowning rather than obey God. Now, you have to admit, that is having an attitude. That is having an attitude. Now, we know that Jonah did not drown when they threw him into the sea. But we also know, and every child that's ever been to Sunday school, I think, understands that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. And we know that after 3 days and three nights, and a lot of praying by Jonah, that the whale put him on dry land. I'm not going to get too graphic there. But the whale threw up, put him on dry land. And then we come to chapter 3. And that's here in chapter 3 is where God calls Jonah to do the same thing that he called him to do before. After Jonah was back out of the whale, God told him again to go and do what he told him to do. In fact, in Jonah chapter 3, verse 4, it says, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. We say, amen. Finally, Jonah has done what God told him to do. He went through it. He disobeyed God, and God punished him for it. But finally, he got right, and he does what God tells him to do. And he goes and tells Nineveh that the judgment of God's coming. And it says, and yet 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. He's saying, you've got 40 days to repent. And after that, God's going to destroy you. Now, when you look at that right there, you think, okay, well then I guess Jonah's attitude kind of came to an end. Not really. Not really. Yes, he did obey the Lord, but he still had attitude. So look, if you would, here in Jonah chapter 3, look at starting at verse 10. It says, and God saw their works. Now this is after Jonah witnessed to Nineveh. It says, and God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. So God told Jonah to cry unto him, tell him that the judgment of God is coming. Jonah goes and does that, tells him that in 40 days the judgment of God is coming, and these people do the right thing. They repent and they get right. Now I'm just going to stop right there and tell you this morning that the judgment of God is coming upon this earth. And the judgment of God is going to be upon all unrighteousness. The Bible says the wrath of God is upon all unrighteousness. And what that means is this: if you're here this morning and you're not saved, God's judgment is coming. In fact, it's already upon you. The wrath of God is already upon you according to the Bible if you're not saved here this morning. And you say, well, what do I need to do to be saved? You need to repent. You need to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. You need to believe he died for your sins and was buried and rose again the third day. And if you do that, God will repent of what he was going to do. In other words, the wrath of God was upon you, but once you get saved, the wrath of God is not upon you anymore. You never have to worry about God's judgment in the sense of wrath once you get saved. Now, these people in Nineveh, they did the right thing. When they believed, when Jonah said, listen, God's going to destroy the city within 40 days, you better do what God tells you to do. They did what God told them to do. If you're not saved here this morning, you know what the Lord wants from you? He wants you to do what he's asked you to do. Believe the gospel. Trust in his son, Jesus Christ. And if you do that, the wrath of God will no longer be upon you. Now, these people are in Nineveh. Remember, these are Gentiles. These people in Nineveh. They're Gentiles, and they repented. My question to you is, more, if you're not saved, are you going to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ this morning for salvation? You should, because judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. Now, in chapter 4, Jonah chapter 4, look if you would, starting at verse 1. It says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. What? He was angry because somebody repented and got right with the Lord? That's kind of strange. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord prepared a gourd and made it to come over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad for the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning arose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up, it came in a night, and it perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, the great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? You know what he was dealing with? He was dealing with a prophet who had an attitude. Who had an attitude. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to read your word and study it and just think about what it's saying to us personally. And Lord, help us this morning, Lord, to have our ears tuned in to what you would have to say to us. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here this morning, Lord, that's not saved, I pray that they will call upon the Lord Jesus Christ this morning for salvation. I pray, Lord, that they'll understand that over and over and over we're warned, Lord, that the judgment of God is coming upon all unrighteousness, and it's come upon this earth one of these days. And Lord, we don't have much time, and I pray that anybody here this morning is not saved, I pray they'll be saved. And Lord, I pray if for some reason there are Christians here today that have the wrong attitude. Maybe their attitude is like Jonah's. Lord, I pray this morning that they'll get right, and they won't continue to have that attitude. Father, I pray you bless the message now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I think it's safe to say that no one really appreciates someone giving them attitude. In fact, one of the things that parents really dislike is when their children have attitude, and there's no difference really when it comes to God and his children. God doesn't like it when his children have attitude. Nowhere in Scripture does it ever imply that attitude is something that God is pleased with. And if there's one thing that the Bible does teach us, it teaches us that God is interested in his children being obedient and having the right heart when they do it. See, God's interested in the heart. That's the reason the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 9:7, it says, every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You say, what in the world does that mean? That means if you're going to give something to this church, be happy about it or don't give it. Why? God's interested in your heart. He's interested in you having the right attitude. You know, there are a lot of Christians that give to churches, but they don't have the right attitude. They don't. I'll tell you another verse that teaches that God is interested in the heart. It says this in 1 Peter 4:9. It says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Without grudging. You say, what does that mean? That means when you help somebody else out, be happy about it. Don't sit there and talk under your breath as you're walking away and say things to yourself you shouldn't say. Have the right attitude when you help somebody out. And so God's interested in your heart. He knows what your attitude really is. And whenever a person has a wrong attitude, there's a spiritual problem in that person's heart. And Jonah, the prophet here, he definitely had an attitude. His attitude was not good. Even when he came and witnessed, if you'll notice, when he came and witnessed to the city of Nineveh, he had the wrong attitude when he did it. Listen, folks, when he came and said, you know, the Lord said in 40 days, you're going to be destroyed. Do you realize the way he was thinking was, you people aren't going to do it, and God's going to destroy you, and I'm going to be happy about it. But I'm just doing what God told me to do. I'm just telling you exactly what he told me to tell you. But he did not have the attitude of what he wanted, what God wanted. God wanted these people to repent, but Jonah didn't. See, he had the wrong attitude on this thing. And so you say, well, what kind of attitude did he have? What did he have in his heart? May I tell you, he had unthankfulness in his heart. If you'll remember, Jonah had been punished by God for not obeying. And when Jonah was in the belly of the whale, Jonah cried out unto God. And look back, if you would, to Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2. He was in the fish's belly. And then he starts crying out to the Lord while in the fish's belly. And he says in verse 2, he says, and I cried by reason of my afflictions unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compass about me. Oh, my billows and thy waves pass over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compass me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me around about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God? When my soul fainted with me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee in thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed, salvation is of the Lord. Now, when you hear him pray that, you think, now there's a man right there. He learned his lesson. There he is. He's in the belly of the fish, and he's crying out to the Lord, and he's saying, Lord, you know, I'm asking you, if you could just deliver me, I'll offer sacrifice to you, Lord. How many of you ever done that? Something bad happens, and all of a sudden you start praying, and you say, Lord, if you'll get me out of this bad situation, I'll come to church more. I'll read my Bible more. I'll pray more. Mm-hmm. I hope you kept that vow. Because the Lord takes vows very seriously. Now notice, he cries out unto the Lord here when things were really going bad. He's in the whale's belly. He made a promise to the Lord that he would be thankful to the Lord. But do you ever read where he actually did that? Not in the book of Jonah, you don't. In fact, you don't see him being thankful at all. You see him just keep on doing attitude. In other words, once God delivered him, he still had the same attitude. He didn't change. Now, that's a whole lot like us, I think. We always seem to make promises to the Lord when things are going bad, but then when things start to go good, we forget about those promises. I mean, wouldn't you think that someone who had just been spared by God's wrath would at least be thankful enough to go and do what God wanted done and do it with a thankful heart? But not in Jonah. Jonah seemed to be all about what the Lord had done for him. And so it is with a lot of Christians today. So many Christians today have forgotten that the Lord saved them from an eternity in hell. They have forgotten about the grace and mercy that God has shown them even after they've been saved. Do you realize how much grace God gives you every day? I mean, think about the things that you do every day that displease the Lord, whether it be by thought, whether it be by deed, whether it be by the wrong attitude. But God gives us grace over and over and over. But a lot of Christians forget that. Yet God continues to keep us all saved that are saved. He continues to give us grace. He continues to keep us in his hands when no man can pluck us out of his hands. He continues to bless us and provide for us, and even when we get attitude. God wants us to serve faithfully and consistently, but we are sometimes unthankful for that. You know, many times I'll go to believers who are not serving the Lord and try to get them going again and explain to them that it's the Lord's will for believers to be in church and it's God's will for them to live right. And a lot of times I hear the words, well, you know, I have my belief, you have yours, and then they give attitude. May I say to you that it's not about our so-called beliefs. If you're saved here this morning, you need to remember that even though you deserve nothing more than God's wrath, that's what we deserved. God saved you from everlasting punishment. And that everlasting punishment is in a real hell. That's what he saved us from. And rather than getting attitude when someone tells you that you need to start serving the Lord again, and rather than getting attitude when a preacher shows up and tells you what God's will is according to the Bible, you need to stop for a minute and think about all that God gave up for you. Think about what he did on that cross for you. And be thankful for that. And then serve him because you're thankful. Serve him because you love him. Do what he tells you to do because he's your heavenly Father. Jonah had attitude towards God. And when God told Jonah to preach to the people of Nineveh, because of his heart, he was unthankful. He wasn't thanking God for what he had just delivered him from the well. He didn't even think about that. And so when you look at the scriptures, you'll see that Jonah was unthankful. Another thing that was in Jonah's heart was also hatred. You know, he had a hatred for the city of Nineveh. Of all the cities in the world, Jonah probably thought that the last city that God would ever spare would have been the city of Nineveh. You say, why? Because Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. The same Assyrian Empire that had fought against Israel and brought them into captivity. It was this city that commands originated from to send Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, against Israel, against Jerusalem, and when he besieged Jerusalem. And really, if you think about it, Jonah here, he probably remembered that. He remembered the things that had happened. And so he couldn't stand this place. He couldn't stand anything that had to do with the Assyrians. And so he got attitude and decided not to obey God when God told him to go in there and witness to him. He probably thought that God should have destroyed them to begin with. He probably thought that God should not give them grace and give them mercy. He probably thought they didn't deserve it. So Jonah probably thought that Nineveh, because of the horrible things that they had done to Israel, deserved the same destruction as Sodom and Gomorrah. He probably wanted it to happen. So because of his deep hatred towards these people for the city of Nineveh, he got attitude with God when God told him to go preach to them. And back in chapter 2, decided to go in the opposite direction of Nineveh. He didn't even want to go towards that way. And it was that same hatred in Jonah's heart that resulted in his attitude even after he preached to the city of Nineveh. In chapter 3, look again at verse 10. It says, "And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry." Now get this. God just spared thousands of people. And rather than being happy about it, he was angry about it. He was angry. And he was displeased exceedingly. Have you ever hated someone so much that it made you angry, the thought of them ever being in heaven with you? You don't have to, don't raise your hand and say yes. But I'm going to tell you, I'm thinking that pretty much all of us can think of somebody that's really done us wrong in life. And the thought of him even being in heaven with you is like, you know what, I guess I hope he gets saved. No, listen, folks. None of us are as good as we think we are. None of us are. And none of us deserve to be saved. And you're talking about a bad attitude. When you ever get to the point where you can pick out somebody in your life that's done something wrong to you and say, you know what, deep down I hope that guy's not in heaven because heaven just won't be heaven with him there. That's kind of the same attitude that Jonah had here. He's like, you know what, Lord, I don't have any problem with you sparing all these other cities, but not Nineveh. Look what they did. Yeah, Jonah, look at you too. How obedient was him? How obedient was Jonah? You know what he did? God said, go do this. He said, no, God, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go in that direction. I'm just going to go somewhere else. You talking about attitude? Listen, for him to get angry that he spared Nineveh, he probably should have been thankful that God spared him. Amen? So he has this attitude. So look what he says in verse 10. And God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil. And he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Now, isn't that just like God? I mean, God says, repent, get right with me, and I'll forgive you. I'm sure glad that God's like that. I'm glad that when I get out of line as a Christian today, that if I'll just repent, if I'll just say, Lord, forgive me, and confess my sins, He's willing to forgive me for fellowship's sake. I'm thankful when I got saved, He put all my sins as far as the east is from the west from Him. That's who God is. That's who He is. And there are people today who've done horrible things, things that you couldn't even imagine. There are even people today that, I mean, if you read the Bible, you know what Paul did? Paul killed Christians. He put them in jail just for believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He forced some Christians to even blaspheme God. But you know what God did? He saved Paul. That's who God is. That's the same God we serve today is the same God that was talking to Jonah here. That's the same God that spared Nineveh. That's the way God's way is. Even today, every person on this earth deserves God's wrath. But the Bible says if you'll repent, turn to God, and put your trust in Him, that He'll spare you from His wrath. God will save anybody no matter what they've done. And Jonah knew this. Jonah knew that God would be like this. Because of his hatred of Nineveh, though, he got attitude. Now, look in chapter 4, look at verse 1. It says that this pleased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry. Look at verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was this not my saying when I was yet in my country? You know what he's saying? I knew it, Lord. I knew you'd do this. I knew that if these people repent, you'd spare them. I just knew it, Lord. Well, yeah, he knew who God was. And he says, therefore I fled unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God. I mean, what a thing to say. I mean, think about that. Lord, you spared the city. I knew it. I just knew it. I just knew you're gracious and merciful, and I knew you'd spare those people. Boy, what an attitude. And then he says in verse 3, therefore now, Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Seemed to me like Jonah had the chance to die when he was back there in the whale's belly. Amen? You know what he's doing? He's just expressing himself. He's venting. He's saying, just kill me, Lord. I'd rather be dead than if you were to save those people there. Yeah, save it for somebody else, Jonah. You had your chance to die back there in the belly of the whale. But he cried unto God. He was unthankful. He had hatred in his heart. He was also selfish. In chapter 4, look at verse 6. It says, the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it come upon over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. Here he is with attitude, and God is still providing for him. God is still gracious to him. He's still providing things for Jonah. And he says, he provided a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad for the gourd. In other words, he's glad that he's comfortable. He's glad that God is merciful to him. He's glad that God has given him grace by putting the gourd over his head to keep the heat off the top of his head. Always made me think that maybe Jonah didn't have a whole lot of hair up here. You know, probably made it pretty hot on his head. But the Lord allowed this gourd to grow up over his head to put a shadow over him. And he's happy about that. But he wanted those people there in Nineveh to perish. You see, he's selfish. It's all about Jonah, not about those people. And there are many people today that are guilty of the same thing. They care more about their own comfort zone than they do about the lost. They say, well, you know, I would tell people about Jesus Christ, but that makes me uncomfortable. It's just not my thing. That person cares more about their own comfort than they do about others. And folks, may I tell you, that's selfishness. That's selfishness. You can see the selfishness of Jonah in his concern over his own comfort. But we also see the selfishness of Jonah in his willingness to quit. If you think about it, God spared the city of Nineveh. Jonah could have been in the city continuing to preach to those people. He could have stayed in the city and worshiped and glorified God for all the mercy and grace that he had shown. But he didn't. He just quit. He went outside the city and sat there and watched, hoping that God would not spare the city. And even when he did, he still sat out there in the sun and was angry about it. There are many believers today who have gotten the attitude to just quit. Something don't go right, and somebody says something to them in church. Somebody does something to them in church. Pastor preaches a message in church, steps on their toes. You know what they do? They get attitude, they get angry, and they quit. May I understand? May I tell you this morning, listen, the devil is going to try to get in this church. He's going to get in this church and he's going to speak to people. This morning, I was doing a Sunday school lesson about how the Lord turned to Peter and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Isn't that something for the Lord to say to somebody? Well, that's what he said. You know what happened? Satan started to influence him to make him say something that offended the Lord. And may I tell you, that's what the Bible says. It always happens that way because the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. You know the devil, what the devil's going to do? The devil's going to try to influence people to say certain things because he doesn't want any of you in church. He doesn't want you here. He doesn't want you to listen to the Bible being preached. He doesn't want you to draw close to the Lord. He doesn't want you to pray. He doesn't want you to hear the answered prayers this morning. You know, when we ever say, "Hey, is there any prayer requests?" People saying, "I got to praise. I got to pray." The devil doesn't want you to hear that. He doesn't want you to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he's going to do? He's going to influence people to say certain things to try to make you mad and try to make you quit, try to make you have an attitude and quit church. That's what he's going to do. And may I tell you, he's successful in many churches. He's successful. He had attitude because he had a willingness to quit. He quit on God. He quit. He just went up there and sat down there. I mean, he could have been discipling those people there in Nineveh. He could have been telling them more about God there in Nineveh, but decided he just left the city, wouldn't even go in. Jonah was selfish. And all he would think about was his own people. All he could think about was himself. And so he just quits and goes sits under a booth. And the reason Jonah had attitude was because his heart wasn't right. Now, what was God's response? I mean, to the attitude of Jonah. What was his response? Well, basically, God responded to Jonah's attitude by taking away certain pleasures that Jonah had in order to teach him a lesson. You see, with that sun beating down on Jonah's head, God prepared a gourd to cover Jonah's head and give him that shade. But then God prepared a worm to eat up the gourd in order to teach Jonah a lesson. You say, well, what lesson did God teach him here? Well, in Jonah chapter 4, look at verse 10. It says, "Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons?" That's 60,000 people in there. Nineveh was a little bit larger than Great Falls. And he said that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand and also much cattle. You know what he's saying? Jonah, these people don't know what you know. Jonah, these people can't discern. They're spiritually discerned. These people don't know me as their God. But Jonah, you do. And he said, Jonah, you care more about this gourd and your pleasures in life than you do about those people over there. The lesson that God was teaching Jonah was that Jonah was unthankful, that he had hatred for these people, and that he was selfish. And then he takes away what Jonah has. You say, what's this teaching me, Pastor? When you start to get the same attitude that Jonah had, when you start to get hatred in your heart, and you start to get selfishness in your heart, and you start to hit unthankfulness in your heart, don't be surprised if the Lord starts taking away some of his blessings until you get right. Listen, everybody in this room can admit this morning that God has blessed us greatly. But if you in your personal life ever get to the point where you have the wrong attitude, if we as a church start to get to the point where we have a wrong attitude, you know what the Lord's going to do? He'll start taking away some of those blessings. Why? He wants us to be thankful. He wants us to love the things he loves. He wants us to have the right attitude, our heart to be right. And if we're going to have the attitude, and may I tell you, say, oh, Jonah, he was, I can't believe that attitude he had. We've all been there. Everybody in this room at one time or another, God has shown you, you come to church, you've heard preaching, you've been reading your Bible, and something just jumps off the page of that Bible, and it's like a finger in your chest saying, you've got, this is wrong in your life. You need to get this right in your life. You know what you do? You sit there with attitude and say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to get right with God. I'm not going to do what God told me to do. I'm going to go in the opposite direction. I'm going to keep on harboring this sin. And you have the same attitude. You know what the Lord's going to do? He's going to start taking away some of those blessings to teach you a lesson. That's called chastening. That's what the Lord's going to do. Now, if you continue to read here, you're going to know something very strange. Because right after the Lord shows him that he's going to take away this gourd, and right after he says there and asks the question, should I not spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle, all of a sudden the book just ends. It just ends. It ends with a question. Nobody answers the question. There's Jonah. I mean, last time we see there, he's still sitting out there with attitude. And God says, I'm going to take this away. Shouldn't I spare them? And at that point, Jonah has to give an answer. Either Jonah could continue to sit, and we don't know. We're never told. Maybe he kept on sitting out there until eventually maybe God did take him home. Maybe he died out there in that sun. Or maybe he got right. It said, Lord, you're right. I'm selfish, Lord. I got the wrong attitude. I'm always thinking about myself and my comforts. I'm not thinking about lost people like you are, Lord. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I'm not as thankful as I need to be. I should be thankful that you delivered me from that whale's belly, and I should be serving you because I'm thankful. Maybe he did that. Maybe he just got right with the Lord and quit being the man with attitude. But what's really important is not what happened to Jonah. At the end of this, when we're kind of left hanging, what's important is, what are you going to do? If you have the same attitude that Jonah has here, and you're selfish, and you have a hatred in your heart for somebody, the Bible says you're supposed to forgive that person. Jonah should have forgiven these people before he ever got there. If you have hatred in your heart, and you have selfishness in your heart, and you have a bad attitude, may I tell you, God does not want you to have a bad attitude. He wants you to be obedient and do things with the right attitude, with the right heart. So really, I think the reason why the Lord left us all hanging here is because it doesn't matter really what Jonah did. That's in the past. What matters is, what are you going to do this morning? Are you going to get right with God if you have the wrong attitude? Are you going to obey Him with the right heart? You know, like when you give to this church, are you going to be happy about it? When you help out somebody, you're going to be happy about it? Doing it to glorify God, everything you do to the glory of God? Are you going to forgive that person in your life that you just can't stand because of the things he's done to you or the things she's done to you? Are you going to forgive him? Are you going to be thankful for what the Lord has done for you? Everybody in this room that's saved, you have more things to be thankful for than you could possibly imagine. And on one of these days, folks, you're going to be able to see that lake of fire, and you're going to understand then, boy, do we have a lot of things to be thankful for. We've got to have the right attitude. What are you going to do? Let's stand.